What is up, Strides for Strength fam? I am Michaela.
And I'm Erin, and we're RSCA certified run coaches and the founders of Strides for Strength Run Coaching. We are here to help you build belief in yourself as an athlete on the run and beyond.
The Strides for Strength podcast is running meets everyday life. We focus on mindset, physical strength, and all of life's in-between moments of self-doubt and fear, both on and off the run.
Our mission is to make running simple and fun while we pull back the curtains around all things running with athlete interviews, guest experts, combined with our many years of running experience, going from non-runners to now multiple time marathoners to help you become the athlete you were always meant to be.
What is up, Strides for Strength fam? I hate us. I literally hate every time I say it, I'm like, we suck. We need to like come up with like a better way to say it, but I don't think there is. Like you got a crescendo. Anyways, I
digress. Hello, welcome to the Strides for Strength podcast.
Hello, we're going to talk about running. Today, just kidding. We're going to talk about track workouts. And I'm so excited because I feel like I've been in such a fun season of like playing with running and not really having a bunch of structure and track workouts. I feel like for me, prior to Houston, when I ran my PR, really helped me unlock like belief and fitness in myself. And I think that they're just so beneficial and underrated. So
let's chat. Like I've seen a lot of pictures of you recently at the track. Like it's either you're at the track or you're on a mountain, one of the two.
That is so true. My current weekly structure is like one like regular run, a track workout, and a trail run, and then maybe one other like easy run in the week. And I'm loving it. I'm thriving. It's great.
I love the season for you.
Me too. But I think for so long I was afraid of the track because high school track, living rent free in my head.
Yeah.
And how much my track coach told me that I couldn't, and getting the pity clap at state track. So I think just something about like being back in that environment now is like a big fuck you.
Yeah. You're like, watch me. Somebody hold my beer.
Somebody hold my beer. I can run faster now than I could when I was 17.
Yeah, right.
Anyways, I think we should start by talking about, I think a lot of times people are afraid to go to the track because like they don't feel like they belong, or they don't know like how to get there or what to do when they're there, or like track etiquette. So I figured we could talk about like, a little bit about like the logistics first before we dive into like the execution and the how of track workouts.
Yeah. How did you find the track near your oh my gosh, I just stuttered so bad. How did you find the track near your house?
Trial and error. It was terrifying.
Nice. Yeah,
I hated it.
Yeah. Mine was the exact same way. Like, I feel like that's truly the hardest part of doing track workouts, in my opinion, is finding a track that's actually open that you can use. My husband at the time was coaching for a high school baseball team. And so I was like, hey, can you just like ask him if I can use the track? And he was like, yeah, sure. It was a hard no, like not even like a soft no. They were like, no, absolutely not. If you step on this track, we'll call the cops. They didn't say that, but still, I was like, oh my gosh, that was the vibe I was getting. And then it was a matter of just like driving to a bunch of different places until I finally found something that worked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I always tell my athletes, like when I first start programming them track workouts, I'm like, don't put all your eggs in one basket. Like, don't go, like, don't wake up on Tuesday morning and be like, I'm going to go crush my track workout at a track that you've never been to before, because you're probably not going to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Have that backup until you actually find a track that you can use, because chances are you may not make it.
Yeah. But I think I ended up finding this, like I literally just Googled like high school tracks near me, and then there's a couple of local running Facebook groups. And then I just asked some like local people here, like, hey, do you guys do track workouts anywhere? Or there's a couple of like insert air quotes runfluencers who run around here. And I was like stalking them. And I was like, what track is that? What are their hours?
Where is that? Can I come with you?
Yeah. But for people who like maybe don't have people in their community, like literally just Google like middle school or high school tracks. And I don't know why this blew my mind the other day when one of our athletes said this, they were like, call the school.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Like, I would give them a call, because honestly, like I've called a place one time and they, I don't know, they kind of thought I was like dumb, I think, because I was like, hi, I'm calling to see if I can use your track. And they were like, our track. And I was like, yeah, like the oval around the football field, like, can I use that? And they're like, well, what do you want to use it for? I was like, arts and crafts. Like, I don't know, man. Like, whatever the hell you want to use it for. So they may honestly like think you're kind of dumb, but it's worth it to call and ask. That way you're not driving over there, like we just said, at 6 a.m. and getting shut down real quick. So, and a lot of times they'll have to like go to another person. Like I've had them have to go to an athletic director to ask them and they call you back, but it's this whole process. But yes, calling is definitely an option.
Yeah. And like, if you're listening to this, you're like, wow, that sounds like a lot of work to go run circles.
I mean, yes.
Yes.
It is.
Yes, it is. But once you find one, the hope is that like you can continue to go back to that one.
Yeah.
And I would say it's always like safest bet is yes, you're probably going to have to go before school starts early in the morning. And especially now that we're getting into like the spring season and like track meets are happening and track practice, like during the winter time here in Colorado, at least like you can get away with afternoon track workouts for me anyways. Besides when you get kicked off by science class. But there's usually like not practices and stuff. So I feel like spring can be a little bit harder to finesse your way.
Yeah. In. Yeah. When it's like actually track season.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like you said, as long as you're getting there, you know, before school hours, I mean, yes, it's going to be a really early morning, but as long as you're getting there before school hours or after school hours, I feel like for the most part, they're pretty lenient.
Yeah. Sometimes there is like padlocks on the gates though. I've seen that before too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Don't hop the fence. What about,
I was about to say, just hop the fence.
Don't hop the fence. We don't want anybody to get arrested because they're like, well, Michaela and Aaron said.
Then our podcast gets shut down. The whole thing.
And I think like really and truly too, sometimes, yes, like I personally prefer to do track workouts on the track. Could you not do them on the track? Sure. But I think there's so many benefits to being on the track, especially when it comes to like usually the softer terrain, and also being able to use the markings for more accurate like distance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, agreed. I do like that. I will say personally, I don't use the track as much as you do. Partly because it takes me like 30 minutes to actually get to the track. And I'm like, I don't want to drive to the other side of Atlanta. Cause if you live in Atlanta, that drive is stupid no matter what time you go. So I do a lot of my track workouts on the road. But I do try and find as flat of a route as I can. And I will say that I feel like trying to find an uninterrupted spot, I think, is the hardest thing. Because you want to avoid like crosswalks and stuff. Cause like on the track, you're not going to have to pause your watch or anything to like go through a crosswalk. So find a place that you, don't have to pause your watch, but then it also does give you a little bit of a confidence boost, in my opinion, because there's days where I'm doing a track workout and I'm running through hilly Atlanta and I'm hitting a track pace on this like huge ass incline. And it's like, damn, like you really are fit. Like, it's solid work. So, I mean, I will say that like there is a time and a place for not doing a track workout on a track, but yes, get to the track if you can. If you can't, no. It's also a little confidence booster.
That's also hilarious because there's a group of us that go to the track every Thursday morning and it's like a 35 minute drive, but I am committed. Like I am so excited to get up in the morning and see sunrise from the track with like the mountains in the background and like the moon and like good company. So two types of people, but it just goes to show that there's not one way to do training and there's still benefit to both. But yeah, I think like you said, you know, if you're doing like a distance paced workout, like trying to find somewhere where you're not going to be like stop and go or traffic lights and all that kind of stuff. And I think too, maybe we should define like, what is a track workout? What is considered a track workout?
Yeah, that's a good one. Track workout it's typically going to be those shorter distances. So like whenever I program my athletes' track workouts, I switch it to meters instead of miles, which is a big difference. Sometimes it's kind of like a mental hurdle for people to get over whenever they're having to run in meters and not miles. Cause they're like, how far is 400 meters? And it's okay to Google that. Like it is fine. So it's miles to meters. Usually you're doing your warm up on the track, which can be a little tedious in my brain because you're just like running in a circle for a really long time.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think too, it's like, just like usually like a rep and distance based workout that is shorter than your traditional, insert air quotes, like quality tempo. Session. If you
will. Yeah.
Yeah. Like tempo, longer intervals. And I think it's interesting. Like for me, I used to be really intimidated by track workouts because like I would see like, oh, 400 meters at 650. And I'm like, what? Like, I can't run 650. But it's like you forget that it's for a shorter amount of time and a much shorter distance than like a sustained 1 mile rep, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And those shorter, faster bursts of energy are going to pay off in the long run too. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to remember that because sometimes I would get caught up with like, I'm never going to run this fast. So like, why am I doing this? You know? But it pays off in the long run.
Yeah.
It's those fast twitch muscles working.
Fast twitch muscles. That's a mouthful. But yeah, it's right. Introducing your body to a new stressor and it gives your body that chance to adapt. And I feel like for Houston specifically, that was the first training cycle that I consistently did track workouts. And I feel like I just learned how to, one, run on tired legs really well, two, how to really like engage that quick leg turnover. Not necessarily like I always used to think that like running faster for whatever, this makes no sense now. Maybe it, sorry if somebody else thinks this. I used to think that like a longer stride would equivalent to like running faster. And that's not true. Like really it's like a shorter, quicker turnover that actually like, I think about when I saw you post Houston in the shoot, it was like, I feel like I was like embracing and embodying my track self finishing like a 200 rep.
What shoe?
Shoot.
Oh, shoot. I was like, what shoe?
What shoe?
Yeah. No, those track workouts definitely pay off. And like you said, it pays off in unexpected moments, like the end of a marathon. Like who would have thought a track workout, you'd be like, oh, wow, those short, yeah, fast bursts of energy. And like that quick turnover really pays off at the end of 26.2 miles. Like that's odd.
Right. Yeah. But it's like, I never knew how to engage my legs that quickly before I started doing track workouts. Like, sure, there's strides, but I feel like strides are still even just like a little bit shorter in duration and time than like your track workouts. But anyways, I think too, like track etiquette, like don't go to the track and be jackass.
Yeah. No bikes on the track.
No bikes on the track. Like if you're doing like faster paced stuff, stick towards the inside. If you're doing like your warm up or your cool down, you're doing like a little bit slower paced stuff, stick to the outside. Like if you see somebody who's coming for you, get the fuck out of their way. Mm-hmm. Speaking from experience.
I know. The bike was my experience. Like somebody brought a whole ass bike to the track and I was like, what are you doing? Like go somewhere else. Like what are you, I don't know, like fine. I digress. Yeah. And your warm up and cool downs, you can also do the opposite way on the track. I didn't know this until I actually went to a track for the first time. And I was like, why is everyone going the wrong way? And then I found out they were doing their warm up and their cool down. And it does kind of break it up a little bit. But yeah, warm up and cool downs, you can go the opposite way. Inside lanes for fast moving people. Kind of like driving a car.
Yeah.
Yes, honestly.
Yes.
Yeah. Stay to the right if you want to pass.
Precisely.
Yeah. Got fast lane, slow lane.
And something I always do, like for my own track workouts and when I'm programming my athletes, is I encourage them to turn off their auto lap and utilize the markings on the track, which is like the track in general is a learning curve. Mm-hmm. Like it's not as simple as just like lacing up your shoes and pushing start and like going to hit the road. But I always encourage my athletes to turn off their auto lap and then manually lap. And it's interesting how often if I forget to turn off my auto lap, that it's like so inaccurate. Like I'll still have like 100 meters left of my 800 rep and it's already like lapping me.
Mm-hmm.
You finished your 800 meter rep fast as fuck. It's like, actually, right. No, I didn't.
Thanks, though. Yeah, turning that, I made that mistake the first time I ran on the track as well. So turning that off is definitely a game changer.
Yeah, and I always write my workout on my hand, like with a Sharpie, so that way, otherwise mm-hmm. I'll forget it. I'm like, what am I supposed to do after this fourth 400 rep? I don't know.
Does it not go to your watch?
Well, if I turn off my auto lap, no. I don't even like start the workout.
Oh,
like I like, I don't start the workout. I don't turn on auto lap. Like I just everything manually, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I got you. That makes sense.
Cause I think if, I guess, would you still get the, do you still get the workout on Garmin if you turn off?
I haven't done it. Try it next time you go.
Tomorrow. I'll try it tomorrow. Yeah, I don't know. But anyways, I always just like don't even. So for those who are listening, we use VDOT for our athletes and I use it to program myself now. So when it pulls over to my Garmin watch, like typically it would just like lap the workout for me as we completed a rep or as you complete a rep. But on the track, I just like start a clean slate. I have no workout, no lapping. So everything is manual. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It just helps me.
Yeah. Agreed.
Anyways, so I write it on my hand. And if you get confused, you can always like, sometimes I'll bring, like if I'm doing like a high rep, like of like 400s or 800s, I'll get like 8 rocks. And then every time,
oh my God.
Every time I finish a lap, I move a rock. Otherwise I lose count.
That's the most Michaela thing I ever heard.
You keep track of how many times you've ran in the same damn circle then.
Did you get that from Michael, the guy we had on the podcast that did the World Marathon Major? Because he did that in Antarctica when he was running because it was so like cold and windy and snowy. I think he said something. Yeah, about like running to a rock. I assume that's where he got it from, but that's so funny.
No, that's not where I got it from. I just was one day and I lost count of how many laps I had done. And I was like, well, what the heck?
What the heck? Let me find some rocks.
Let me find some rocks to figure it out.
Are the rocks aplenty on the track? Like, do you have
there's like a rock bed. They're actually relatively like large rocks. They're not really like
Michaela's hauling a whole boulder over there. She's like, hold on, I got one more rep.
But I will say this like school that I go to is pretty like high snooting. And so some of the people that are there sometimes I'm like, let me do my thing. Like don't even look at me.
Right. Leave me alone.
I'm a peasant compared to you guys and all of your money. I digress. I think something that also too can be challenging with like 200, like more so like 400 meters, 800 meters and beyond, is like figuring out how to split up the rep so that way you're not like crushing the first 400 and then dying the second 400. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. You, maybe yours is a little bit different. But I usually tell my athletes to break it in half. So like if you're doing an 800, you're like, I'll give them a 400 meter split. And it's like your 400 meter split should be this. Cause I feel like it's mm-hmm. not as daunting, you know? But I think we were talking before we hopped on the call and you said you break yours down a little bit different. Yeah.
Yeah. I break mine down into 200 meter reps actually. So like if I have, for the sake of like easy math, an 800 meter rep with a goal of 4 minutes, I'm like, okay, in my brain, that's wow. Two 1 minute per 200 meters. And then, so what I try to do is like that first 200 meters, I'll like plus or minus a few seconds. Like I try to stick around like 103 and the second 200 meters, like 102, you know? So it's like, I think a lot of times the slippery slope that people fall into with track workouts is starting too fast and then they're not able to finish the rep strong. So like they'll run their first, for this example, like if you're running 800 meter at 4 minutes, they run the first part at like 140. And then the mm-hmm. second half, they're like, oh shit, now I'm like 230 because I just gassed myself. Right. So for me, I like the 200 because it helps me finish one 400 consistently. Does that make sense? Track math.
Track math.
Math is hard.
I feel like sometimes, me personally, if I'm given too many numbers, I get really flustered. Like there was one day that back in the day, like right when I started doing track workouts, and I got so frustrated because I couldn't remember any of the numbers that I was supposed to hit. And so I just took my watch off and I was like, we're just going to do it. Like, if, I don't know what the number is, but this is how many laps I'm doing. Because there were so many numbers involved, but I guess writing it on your arm is probably, I feel like I would just have a paragraph on my arm. Like my whole entire arm would be Sharpie.
Well, I also like feel mentally stimulated when I'm at the track because like, I don't like, I'll just write the reps in like the end goal, like pace, but I won't write on my hand, like all of the rep splits. So that way when like, I'm like, before I go into that rep, I'm like kind of track mathing in my head, like, some mental math. And then I'm like, okay, well I just cruise through this 100 at 103. So my next 100, I need to bear 200. God, numbers. Right. There's too many numbers happening right now.
Anyway, and then by the time you get done doing your track math, you're done with the rep anyways.
Exactly. Yeah. But actually something I do with my athletes when we're first introducing track workouts is I'm like, don't look at the numbers, like go solely off effort and just familiarize yourself with the environment, with the track markings. Cause I feel like it like removes that pressure to go and be uncomfortable in an unfamiliar environment and try to hit paces. Like that's just too much at once.
Yeah, that's fair.
And even now, like I do most of my track workouts in this off season effort based. I don't really have
time. Oh, really? Huh.
Yeah. I mean, I like subconsciously have time goals, but like they're not like, they're not like written in stone. Like I'm like really trying to get my 400 down to 130 and feeling comfortable doing that, which is hard. Consistently.
What pace is that?
Like low, like six. Yeah, around there.
Nice.
And it's hard. It's hard. Like I can do one 400 at 130, but if you put me in like an 8x400 workout, cranking out all of those at 130, I'm comfortable. Yeah. So like, I like know in my body, like that threshold of discomfort and I know relatively what time it's going to be, but I don't go into the track workout being like, oh, I have to hit 130 for all 8 of these 400 reps.
Yeah.
I just go and see what the body can do, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's fair. Do you feel like going based off of effort, it's been comparable to what you've done in the past, like when you were training and it was a specific number, or do you feel like you've
And I was a little bit hesitant. I was like, am I not going to push myself hard enough? But I feel like it's just such a good way to get in tune with your body and experiment with that threshold of discomfort, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Kind of like fuck around and find out.
That's what we do around here.
Man. Okay. Track math. And I think too, one like little last 2 cents on track workouts is that I have this conversation with my athletes a lot. There is a reason for the specificity of the pace.
Yes, feel like people just go balls to the wall. They're like, track workout, bet, fast as I can go.
Yeah. And then it's like you finish your first, let's say 4x400 and you still have some maybe 800 or 1600s to crank out. You ain't got the time for it. Or the energy, I mean, space, capacity. So just because you can run faster doesn't mean that you should, especially at the beginning of a track workout, because you will pay for it later, just like you do in a race or a marathon.
Yep, it is a good opportunity to practice pacing because we all know that there is a rhyme and a reason and a strategy to pacing not only a race, but a track workout. So,
Which is why it's helpful to like do that track math and split it up. So that way you're not like completely guessing yourself or emptying the tank and remembering like you still got a whole workout ahead of you.
Yep. For sure.
Erin's like, I am over track workouts.
I'm supposed to do a track workout tomorrow. And I'm thinking about how I'm probably should go to the track, but I don't know that I'm going to the track. That's actually the wheels returning in my brain.
I think the track is like such a good way to like mentally change it up too. It's like, I think so often, especially as like runners, we get like on one route or a couple of different routes and we always rotate through the same ones. And then it's like, it's good for your body and your brain to go somewhere else. Re-engage.
Yeah. Change the scenery.
Change the scenery. Change of pace. Change of terrain. All of the things.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, if you guys have any questions about track workouts, you can slide into our DMs at SFS Runners. Every time I always forget that we change our Instagram handle, and I'm always like, Strides for Strength.
I know, right? SFS Runners, though, just rolls
out. SFS Runners. And just a little FYI, we're going to be, at the time this episode is released, just getting ready to open one-on-one coaching. So if that's something you're interested in or you're curious about, make sure to come over to our Instagram, or you can head down to the link in the show notes and you can join our email list. Our email list will be the first people to get access to one-on-one coaching when it first opens. But yeah, let us know.
Yay! Fun stuff. New athletes. Woo!
We know running is more fun with community, and we all need more people in our lives to share that crazy kind of love for everything on the run and beyond.
If you have a running bestie who you think would love this episode and our Strides for Strength community, send this episode and follow us on Instagram at Strides for Strength. Until next time, friend, keep working towards a stronger you.